Hi, this is James Moore from ghostsofohio.org, specializing in backward masking, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk. Obvious work in the film.
Can't get enough Ghostly Talk? You go to addunderground.com and click on Slack and Radio every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time to check out past shows of Ghostly Talk.
Hi, this is Heidi Hollis from AlienAdvice.com, and you're listening to the Hot Boys at Ghostly Talk.
And welcome back to Ghostly Talk.
I always wanted to do that.
You're making it sound a lot like the Muppet Show.
Oh, thank you.
The Muppet Show.
Take it easy.
All right. I'll be good. I'll try right. Anyway.
It's been a crazy show, I know.
It's been an intense show. I absolutely love it. But, I can't wait to get the next guest on because I actually did see the movie for a change.
What's that supposed to mean?
And I really...
Guys, get ready. He wants to do fisticuffs right here, I'm telling you. I've been getting razzed since I walked in the door about this.
Loose Change is a documentary by Dylan Avery, the director and narrator, Corey Rowe, the producer, and Jason Burmes, webmaster and graphic designer, released through their company, Louder Than Words.
The documentary presents a rebuttal to the established version of events during the September 11th, 2001 attacks and the official versions of events as recounted in the 9/11 Commission report. It alleges that the attacks were not the result of terrorism, but a series of cleverly executed events carried out by the U.S. government.
Released as two separate editions, the documentary has been the focus of much debate, with many websites and individuals counter-challenging the validity of claims made by it. Corey and Jason, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
How you doing?
Thanks, man. Thanks for having us on, guys.
This is obviously, when the word, the term 9/11, it's obviously been embedded in our brains forever. Forever. I mean, as long as all of us will live, this is something that day is something we all have our story. We all know what happened, what we were doing when that happened. We all have a whole story about it. I know that for a fact. And I know since then there have been a lot of claims, a lot of ideas out there about what may have really happened on 9/11, as opposed to the popular view, which is it's those darn terrorists again. They're just out to get us and kill us. And I'll make an opinion right now. I don't really believe all that's completely true myself.
Well,
I don't, and
I have to agree. I don't think that all of the stuff that we're presented by the media and the government is all necessarily completely true. And that's why there's words like above top secret, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It is there. There's too much. I mean, one of our things, even Heidi Hollis was in the break, right?
Yeah.
UFOs.
Yeah.
They've got to know more about UFOs. I mean, there's so many different things that I can point to that say I don't really trust my own government about these issues.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had questions. Mm-hmm. And I, of course, being, doing what I do and reading the boards that I read,
mm-hmm.
Had questions about 9/11. And then Will comes up one day and says, oh, you got to see this video.
Yeah.
I bought the DVD, and then I was chased by a Department of Homeland Security vehicle. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
Mm.
And that's true, by the way.
That is true, yeah.
Wait, can you explain that?
Go ahead, Will.
Will, it's all yours.
Go ahead, Will, tell him.
On February 1st, I came home from work, and there's a bank next to where we live. And there was a Department of Homeland Security.
Hang on. When did you buy this video? When did you buy this video?
Geez.
Do you remember?
It would have been in January.
January?
I believe okay.
So in the month previous to February 1st.
I bought the video. I mean, I've been on numerous message boards and, talking about the government and JerrySpringer.com, everything. I've been, JerrySpringer.com, he has actually a web.
It's their American show. I've heard it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home from work, and there was this vehicle sitting there. I didn't think anything of it. I knew they were in town for the Super Bowl.
That was the same weekend as the Super Bowl here in Detroit. Yeah.
So they had nothing better to do than to chase you?
Well, that's what we said.
All right, go ahead. Tell the story.
So I came home, and I was going to a friend's house, and I showered and everything, and it was about an hour later. I left, and as soon as I pulled out to get on the main road out here,
mm-hmm.
it pulled out right behind me. Squealed and everything.
You heard the tires squeal?
Heard the tires squeal, peeled out of the parking lot towards me.
Mm-hmm.
Got to the freeway, and I noticed it was kind of weird. They just all of a sudden peeled out on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I went the opposite direction that I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
Got off, came back around, and I started going the direction I wanted to go in,
mm-hmm.
and it was still following me.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm heading on I-94, I got up next to a semi, got up right in front of it and cut off the semi and got off an exit real late.
That's pretty much standard Michigan driving.
Right,
so,
yeah. Right.
Yeah, no
they should have expected that.
So this car was trapped next to the semi. He couldn't get over.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to lose him then.
And how did you know it was the Department of Homeland Security?
It was marked.
It said mm-hmm. Department of Homeland
Security. It was a white car. It said Department of Homeland Security on the side.
So he calls me up, though. I'm still at work, and he called me up going, dude, listen, This is kind of crazy sounding, but and he told me the same story. And I mean, of course, I live here too, so I came here and I stopped. There was no car there when I stopped in there, but he was probably out chasing somebody else that bought the video. I don't know.
But what's interesting is that this pursuit happened on many different roads. I mean, because to get to where you said you got off of I-94, it's a good, if you drove there directly, it would be a good, 8 to 12 miles.
Yeah.
It's just about a 20-minute drive.
Yeah, and so it would be about 8 to 12 miles, and you're talking several normal roads and two different expressways, aren't you? Or did
you? Just one expressway.
So you drove over to 94.
Mm-hmm. I drove towards 94, and I went the wrong way, got off,
and then spun
back around, yeah, and got back to 94 going the direction I wanted to go in.
And he was still following you.
He followed me all the way through.
So you went approximately 6 miles to get to 94 on back roads or regular street roads.
Right.
Okay. And it's not easy to get to 94 from here. You've got to go over to Harper, and it takes several different maneuverings. You get on the expressway the wrong way, get off, go around,
and
go the right way.
Meanwhile, this guy's still following you.
Yes.
So this was a number of roads and one expressway
in two
different directions.
A small circle then to go the way I wanted to go.
So there was no doubt he was tailing you.
No doubt. Because every time I changed lanes on the freeway, he would change lanes with me. He was right on my tail the whole time.
Well, now...
Well, that's an interesting thing to start off with.
You can argue that that's fairly easy to do, because, Will, you drive like an old man.
I was driving fast.
Oh, you were driving...
I was doing about 80-85.
Oh, wow, okay. So, what do you think? Do you think it's related to his activities on the message boards, and then also following up by buying the video?
I don't know. I would have to lean towards no. I mean, that would be the first instance that I've heard of anybody chasing anybody. I'm pretty sure it's. I'd say no, but you never know.
Never know.
I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you guys. I mean, have you ever had?
Have we been tailed and all that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we've been pretty blessed. If they're tapping our phones, we really don't know about it. We had a helicopter outside our house once.
I mean, we've had small instances here and there of weird things happening. I mean, I think I see some things once in a while.
Yeah.
But you never know. It could be out there, it could not be. But I'm going to lean towards no on that too. I mean, I work for our government. I know how incompetent they are.
Well, we're not trying to spin webs of conspiracy right now, but, it was something weird that happened, and, he called me
and
right after it happened.
It was awful coincidental.
I knew it was, you bought the video.
I really don't think ghostly talk is enough to...
I came home in my work vehicle, and I left in my personal vehicle.
Well, yeah, so he has two different cars, so that makes it even a little weirder. That just makes it interesting.
What have you been saying on these message boards?
I'm just conspiracy theory message boards,
stuff like that.
Well, maybe you raised a flag.
Well, let's get into this. I mean, basically, here's the thing, all right, guys, and I'm not going to lie to you, and I'm going to take flack from these guys, too. These guys have been able to see the video. I have not been able to find time in my very busy schedule to sit down and watch the thing, but I have a lot of ideas on this that I think probably coincide your ideas.
However, as soon as I saw the video, I turned to Will and I said, can you talk to these guys and get them on the show? You guys present a very compelling case.
Thank you. Well, the evidence is out there.
It's so blatantly apparent. You really have to close your eyes not to see it.
Well, that's what everybody seems to say. Everybody who works on this, concerning 9/11 especially, a lot of people say the same thing. They're like, look, the stuff is right here.
They did. Well, the thing is, the research involved is not, it did not get beyond my notice that there was some heavy research going on. You dug up snippets of things that people had said during the onslaught, and it was an onslaught of everybody trying to get the stories, right?
Yep.
And you dug up little snippets of things that then later did not really correlate to the approved version of the events.
Absolutely. I mean, these things leak out all the time, and they're in the back of the paper. They do one story on them, and it's dropped. I mean, I think it's pretty telling that right now in the mainstream media, it's a mass destruction on purpose. They're spying on American citizens without any war. By the president, who was looking into the claims of uranium in Iraq, whether they were true and would have led to war or not. So, I mean, I don't think it's that beyond the pale that they would carry out this attack. And on top of that, I mean, you look at all this stuff that's like in the back of the paper, it never gets refuted. They never retract it, and it's all over the place.
And that's these claims, more or less. That's what we're referring to. I mean, that's more. I mean,
no, these little teeny tidbits of stories that people have put out, because that's a much of the video is these incongruities.
Yeah.
Of the established, even when they talk about when the planes collided, could they topple a building? And you guys went through how many different superstructures that could not be toppled by an amazing amount of torture that these things went through.
We covered 8 buildings, just 8. And, I mean, and there's so many more. We just chose a few at random, except for the Windsor building. The Windsor building in Madrid really drives it home. I mean, the steel reinforced, surrounded in concrete, burning for so long, totally eradicating the top levels of the building, but yet it did not cause a pancake effect, which subsequently brought down any building.
And those were real fires. I mean, those flames were going.
Yeah, that's compared to the small smoldering holes that were in the top story.
And I mean, we have the audio tapes from the firefighters that actually got up into the impact hole. We put it in our movie, and they'd say it's going to take 2 lines to knock down, and then magically it's the second tower to be hit, but the first tower to fall, and it falls 2 minutes after they say they can knock it down, get the hoses up here.
Well, that's the thing. You guys read my mind on that too. That you said the Windsor Building in Madrid. That's the one I've seen the video of where it was when it was on fire. The whole building.
Well, yeah, the upper structures, right?
It was the upper
10 floors.
Maybe I'm thinking of another building, but okay, fine. Same thing. I mean, these buildings burn and burn and burn, and they just will not come down.
Absolutely not.
One of the things, we'll get to that later. I don't want to go too far into this right now as far as what some of the ideas I've heard. But that is the thing right there. You have these audio of these people saying, look, we can knock this thing down in with 2 lines, which I imagine means 2 fire hoses, right, with water coming out of them. They couldn't be too large of a fire, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Well, they're in the impact hole that's supposed to be 2,000 degrees weakening steel. 2,000 degrees weakening steel would pretty much instantly incinerate a human being.
Yeah, and not to mention that, but that the Chief Palmer actually says in his transmission that there are numerous 1045 code ones. A 1045 code one is a dead body, and if a dead body had been in the hole where these fires were reaching and exceeding 2,500 degrees to melt steel, the skin would have melted off like butter, and they wouldn't have been there.
Yeah, there wouldn't be anything left.
Just the fact that he was in there and he saw other dead bodies, and, I mean, it totally refutes everything right there.
Well, here's the thing, and help me with this. How much heat do you need to melt steel? I don't know what
3,000
that means.
3,000
degrees.
3,000 degrees. And that's not even fireproof steel.
Yeah.
That's not even fireproof steel. In fireproof steel, how hot can that go?
I'm not sure on the exact specifics, but I think it's like 3,500 or upwards of 4,000 degrees.
That's hot.
It's very, very, very hot.
That's very hot. We obviously know anything that gets up to that, that'll just incinerate. That'll disintegrate a human being. A human body would be gone. There'd be nothing there.
Yeah.
And yet, this chief is telling us that there's bodies in there. There's dead bodies laying around.
Well, we have a video of a woman waving her hand and a picture of her too in the impact hole. I mean, she's in the impact hole.
She's wearing white pants.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can Google it right now and see it.
She's like, well, look, there's a big hole here. I'm standing in it.
Somebody help me.
And those are the things that's right in front of your face, like you guys said.
It's absolutely right, yep. right in front of your face. And I mean, Americans looked past it that day because they just wanted answers. You know, they wanted to know what was going on at any cost. They want to sit there and depict the details. I mean, we're not going to say that we knew this right away. There are people that called this right away. We didn't. We didn't call this right away.
Yeah,
I was in the military when this happened, and it took a long time for me to pick up on it, and with Dylan and Jason.
Well, the thing was, it shows you how fast things can get out there, especially things that are false. I remember the day it happened when I was at work. I'm not going to tell my whole story, but I was at work the day it happened, much like a lot of Americans are. And the first thing I heard was a plane hit one of the Twin Towers. And I'm like, well, that's kind of, obviously we heard, well, that's kind of weird. That's a real bad accident. Oh, my goodness, man, that really sucks. And then we heard a second plane hit the other tower. And I'm like, oh, now there's something really up here. And then, just to illustrate how fast it can get out, I mean, we're talking about, we're here in Detroit. This is New York, right? That's pretty far from where we're at. Somebody already told me right after the second plane hit the second tower that another plane came through and defaced the Statue of Liberty. That's what I heard. Somebody actually told me that day, and I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on here? Now, I don't know how that got out there, But it's another idea in itself. We, as we've been seeing, and I don't want to push too far into this, but as we've been seeing is that after this whole bomb, the whole attack or whatever you want to call it, the Americans were rallied. Our president rallied the American citizens and said, we need to, you know, get behind us and we need to take care of business right here. Now, what is one of our number one, you know, things in our mind when you think of America, you think of one of the things is the Statue of Liberty. And for somebody to deface the Statue of Liberty, obviously that's an insult to the whole American public. I think that, you know, that little thing that I heard, it may have been just shot out there, in my opinion, just to get people angry. I mean, do you guys know what I'm saying about that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the whole thing was really, it was designed to do exactly that, was to anger Americans, was to infuriate them, to get them to go to war, to get them to do things that they wouldn't normally do.
And get the Patriot Act in
for
it.
Oh, God. Oh, man. I mean,
that is the biggest misnomer on the planet, the Patriot. But anyway, okay. Question for the guests. Now, this is a different kind of ghostly talk, actually, because we rarely ever get questions for the guests.
Yeah, we usually just sit here and do our own thing.
And we all just chat. Is actually, in the chat rooms, because we monitor chat rooms while we're broadcasting. His initials are JD.
Oh,
wants to know, do you think, and I already know the answer because I saw the video, do you think little bombs were placed into the World Trade Center to help them collapse?
Absolutely.
No, without doubt. Without a question. I mean, it is so obvious. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me just rattle off all the facts. We have numerous eyewitness testimony on video. I mean, we have citizens, police officers, the media, and the firefighters all talking about them. We have the blast charges isolated as the towers collapsed. We also have blast charges going off on the first and second impact away from the actual impact of the plane. If you watch the first video of the plane impacting, look up 20 stories and you see one of those same little puffs of smoke and a floor blast out, just like when the World Trade Center is collapsing. We also have the evidence that these collapses were coupled to the ground as they were picked up by seismographs.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And they circle them or something during the video. Look at this one. So it's not like you could miss them.
Some of these blast charges are going off 60 floors below this supposed pancake collapse. I mean, they're not huge ones, but they are absolute destabilizing charges. I mean, if you look at the array of videos we do, and you really watch them five or six times, you can see what we're talking about. I mean, this is pulverized concrete shooting out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And those are just the ones that are visible on the videos. You know, there's ones that are, I'm sure they're on the inside that didn't come out, you know, into visible.
The ones that came through windows and you could see on the outside.
When you say pulverized concrete, though, I mean, you mean that's the actual concrete that's being pulverized
that
itself by the explosion? Okay, all right.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely, without question. I mean, you can watch these projections. These are horizontal projections, almost 200 feet directly horizontally out from the building. It's concrete turning into dust. In right in front of your eyes. I mean, let's break it down real quick.
Okay.
If you look at those towers, they were 1,363 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
Take Galileo's theory of a body that falls at 9.8 meters second squared, and you take the height of the building and you put it into the equation, and if that building was to fall at exactly free fall speed, it would be 9.2 seconds. If you take the building's collapses, not only one, but building one, building two, and building seven, the World Trade Center complex, all three of those buildings fell in completely free fall speed. I mean, within and under a second of a difference. I mean, it's absolutely so apparent that these buildings came directly down into themselves, completely imploding into a nice, convenient little pile in the exact time it would have been for a free fall. Now, what that does right there is that there was no pancake theory. Because if that was there to happen, then those floors would have fell on top of the other one, and there would have been a time. There would have been a resistance between collapsing, and they would have taken, if not, I mean, almost a minute, if not over a minute, for those buildings to completely collapse had the pancake theory been true. In that instance, which it wasn't.
Well, that's the thing. I've been lucky enough to actually meet a demolition contractor. I met a guy who was an actual demolition contractor, and this is way before 9/11. And we talked a little bit about it, and he explained kind of how it's done and how they set up the charges and stuff like that around there. And obviously, you guys know this too. When you level a building, and like you just said a second ago, I think that was Jason, am I correct?
Well, that was Corey.
Okay, Corey, I'm sorry. I'm getting the name straight here. when you level a building, especially like in a city like New York, okay, just a few years ago here in Detroit, we leveled the Hudson's building to become part of that park, that thing we have that terrible baseball team playing. But they leveled the building called the Hudson's building, which was a big apartment store time. And that they had a whole thing on that also, explaining how they were going to try to bring the thing down, not even nice and smooth, right? And they still had problems with that, but the more or less in demolition contracting, you want to level a building as straight down as possible. You don't want it going sideways. You don't want, I mean, and that seems like if a building was to come down in pieces, like, we didn't see, the business came down. From what I remember, they just went from standing there, like, with a couple of planes hanging out of them, right? All of a sudden, just going,
the first tower to get knocked down, as it started to implode, it started to lean towards the side, and it almost got to a 45-degree angle before it completely disappears. And that's like a 35-story chunk of building right there. I mean, that's massive. And it's just gone.
It disappears.
It didn't land on anything on the ground. I mean, it's unreal.
Right before, there's a huge explosion that just blows the top 30 floors right off. You can watch it. It's a huge fireball. Like, where did that come from? The plane had already been gone. The building had been burning. I mean, and then all of a sudden, the top stories start to lean. There's a huge explosion. And then that section that's leaning all of a sudden just disappears and it goes away. Bye-bye.
Yeah. I mean, on top of that, you know, there was molten steel at the base of World Trade Center 1, 2, and 7, the three that were demolished on September 11th, like a month afterwards. I mean, literally molten steel. And if you have molten steel on the bottom, I mean, you'd have to think that there was 3,000-degree heat at least the whole time, more than the fires could have ever caused from jet fuel.
Well, that's in that. I want to get to that later on, because, you know, we've said 3,000 degrees is what makes steel, okay?
There's so much more.
There's more, okay.
The questions are like flying.
Okay.
Katie also wants to know, and this is addressed. I mean, that's why I have Will asking him right now. Did you see the video? Because this is exactly all the things that I had thought of as well.
Mm-hmm.
And these are what people, these are questions that people have.
Mm-hmm.
Did they not tell people, oh, no, it's safe to go back? And I know the answer. I saw the video. Did they not tell people, oh, it's safe, go back to your desks, everything's fine now?
Yeah, they did say that, actually.
And forced them.
South Tower people were trying to evacuate the South Tower, and there was an announcement that came over the building that said that there had been an accident at the North Tower, everything was secure, and that they could return to their desks. And actually, we've gotten letters from numerous people in the South Tower who said, yeah, screw that, I'm getting out of the building.
I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either.
Too.
I don't blame them either.
I would, too.
Screw a job. I'm out of here.
Did they lock doors?
Not that I know of. No, I haven't heard anything.
They didn't
about
try
them.
To keep people in the building. I mean, they didn't. They weren't going to sit there.
Yeah, the buildings were already surprisingly empty for that day, as it was.
You know, and I've heard stories about that too. That there were some of the lead executives for some of the companies that worked.
All
there.
The lead executives were gone. They were out to breakfast that morning.
I mean, Larry A. Silverstein, who ate breakfast every morning in the Windows of the World. Every morning he ate, I mean, religiously, and then that morning he had a doctor's appointment.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That sounds very convenient.
Yep. It's interesting.
Well, and it's just a piece.
You want to know something? Hold on real quick. Something else convenient about Larry Silverstein. Larry A. Silverstein is the man who leased the entire World Trade Center complex
six weeks
before 9/11, and he leased it on a 99-year lease 6 weeks before specifically covering acts of terrorism. Not 6 weeks later, the buildings got demolished completely by terrorism, and he claimed that both attacks were separate acts of terrorism, and he claimed $7 billion from
He only got, I believe, $2.2 billion, but he was a $200 million investment.
Only? What do you thought? Only? He only got
$2.2 billion on a $200 million. That's right there. He just made $2 billion. That seems like a pretty good incentive to me. Not on top of that, but the World Trade Centers themselves, they were built in 1973 with hazardous building materials, asbestos and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Now they had received several citations to clean the building up, and in order to clean that building up to standard of today's standards, it would have cost them over $1 billion to do it. I mean, that there's another pretty good incentive to bring down the buildings. I mean,
that's a lot of work for people. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of money going towards businesses to clean that mess up.
And then look at it again. Before September and on September 11th, the occupancy rate in the World Trade Center was below 50%. I mean, most of the floors were empty. It wasn't taking in anybody new, and it was actually an eyesore. Most New Yorkers didn't even really like the World Trade Centers up to September 11th when it became a national monument more than it was.
See, there's all these pieces. again, and they're, I mean, and I've heard a few of these things already, you know, and these are, and like you guys said, again, these are things that are right in front of your face too. These are things that are right there. This is black and white. This is zeros and ones, like I always like to say.
Yeah.
These are things that are pretty much factual. I mean, and that's what it makes me, it gives me a headache to think about it.
And that's the thing too, man, is people call us conspiracy theorists. We're not. We're conspiracy factualists. We focus on the facts.
And that's very important. That's a great way to put it. Why don't we take a quick break, okay?
I'd rather not.
You don't want to?
I'd rather blow right through
it. You want to blow right through it?
Yeah.
All right, we'll blow right through it.
We get another question in.
Well, we got more questions?
Oh, we've got...
Well, I didn't know that.
Now we've got hundreds of questions.
We got hundreds. Okay, well, let's keep going then.
This is unlike Ghostly Talk. We never get questions.
Yeah, nobody likes us.
They were interested in Brian, and now they're like,
yeah, see,
tell us all about the World Trade Center.
You guys don't care about us.
Yeah, they don't care about us anymore, but... But that's okay. That's okay. That's why we get to talk to you.
Here's something... Well, go ahead.
Has there been... Is there any? First of all, I never even heard of this as a rumor, but Crow had heard that there may have been a letter that came in informing of the attack before it happened.
Oh my God,
oh, dude!
Do you want to hear the prior knowledge? I mean, I can go on forever. On top of like every foreign agency warning us that this was going to happen. I mean, all right, let's go through it. The hijackers, for instance, two of them listed their home address as a Pensacola Navy station. Muhammad Atta was admittedly trained at Maxwell Air Force Base. The BBC did a big report right afterwards saying that nine of them were alive. I mean, listed off where they were, confirmed some of it with the Saudi embassy, got on the phone.
Talked to one of them, and yeah, he said he doesn't even know what Delaware is.
Yeah, doesn't know anything about it. We have W199I evidence. Now, what this is a document that Bush actually signed in August, right before the attack. Deputy Director of the FBI, John O'Neill, and some of his men were going after some of these supposed hijackers. Bush says, hey, you can't arrest them, and if you do, you're going to jail under the National Security Act. John O'Neill gets disgusted. He resigns. He thinks he gets a great deal becoming the head of World Trade Center security. His first day is on September 11th, and he's killed during the attacks. Since then, we've had numerous FBI agents, including Robert Wright, go public that they were investigating a lot of these guys prior to this and were not able to go after them. Even in the Massawi trial, all the FBI agents are having to admit that they were keeping tabs on him the entire time. And I could go on for more times, but, you know, I'll let you guys talk.
No, I understand. I mean,
you know who wants to know? Robin Valley Community Radio.
What do they want to know?
They want to, I know. How does Silverstein explain the Pullet remark? And Pullet is in...
Oh, dude, you guys... Thank you, Robin Bailey Community Radio, because I was going to... That's what I've been trying to get that in.
He did finally address that issue a couple months ago, and he said that he was talking about pulling the operation there. However, there was no fire operation there, and he wouldn't refer to the operation as it. He was clearly talking about demolishing the building
exactly,
and trying to backtrack. I mean, come on.
You
look at that building, out of all of them, and you can see the roof line collapses first, two strips of bombs go off on the sides, and it crimps into the middle and falls on top of itself. It's absolutely impossible. Fire could never do that.
And here's another question about that. And I was there, and I remember that, because that's one of the big things I was listening to on the big C, whatever, the C word. I was watching this coverage, and they were saying, well, this building has just had it. We can't do anything. Let's just pull it. They were talking about demolishing it. They weren't talking about pulling anybody out of there. They weren't talking about pulling a string. They weren't talking about pulling their car up a hill. They were talking about pulling the building down, as in destroying the building.
And you remember seeing this when you were live.
Exactly.
Okay.
That was on TV. That was on corporate TV where we could watch all the exciting action on 9/11. They were talking about pulling that building down. Here's the question about that, though. I just got done saying a few minutes ago that we leveled the Hudson's building here in Detroit a few years ago to make our stadiums and stuff, right? These guys spent 3.5 months setting the charges in that building, getting it ready to demolish it, to level that building, right? And from what I saw when they leveled the building, that was Tower 7. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a small building. When they leveled that, when it came down flat as could be, no angling at all, came flat down. Like I just got done saying a second ago, they leveled the Hudson's building. They spent 3.5 months doing it. These guys just all of a sudden pulled this little plan together real quick and leveled this building perfectly in the matter of a couple hours.
Did people notice that there were extra teams of, quote, janitors, end quote, going through the building for months previous to this?
We go through a little bit of the fact that they shut down portions of the World Trade Center and certain people have access, but I think it's pretty convenient that Securicom is the one handling securities at the World Trade Center, and Marvin Bush is one of the head proprietors of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. You know, you've got a family now that turned out a one-term governor as president twice in very disputed elections. His father was the head of the CIA, into the vice presidency, into the presidency, and then kind of fell back for a few years. But, you know, he's still a spook. And, you know, his sons are everywhere. I mean, Marvin got caught up in an SEC scandal in the late 80s, early 90s, I believe, and he kind of fell back. But, you know, he just happened to be running World Trade Center security.
More questions? Where do you, I hate to keep doing it. But
there's hundreds, but actually, I want to get onto a different topic. This is a topic that I noticed right away.
Okay.
Okay, and I know that it's in the DVD because I saw. Oh, speaking of the DVD, how do people get it?
Oh, okay, real quick. you can watch it for free right now. Anybody who's out there, you want to follow along with the evidence, first you can go to our website, which is www.loosechange911.com. You can click on the evidence tab and go right along. Everything is sourced. You can check our articles. Go right through it. If you want to watch the video right now, it's free. There's 100 places, 100 million places to download it from. The best and easiest is video.google.com.
Mm-hmm.
Go on there and search Loose Change Second Edition. The quality's not the best, but you can at least you'll see it. I urge anyone out there who's hearing about this for the first time, take 80 minutes, sit down, watch our video, and really just then think about it for a minute. Take an aspect that maybe the government does have alternate agendas behind the scenes that they don't want you to know about. And I mean, if this is new to you, I urge you to start Googling it.
Well, this is something I've been following for a while. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I told you before, I have not seen the video yet, but I've been, you know, pondering on this and reading articles and going through a lot of the same things.
Well, the same thing with a lot of the people in the chat room.
Yeah.
They've not seen the particular video, but these are things that they've noticed.
Yeah.
And these are questions that people have. They still have them. Another one.
Okay.
And this is not from the chat room. This is from me.
Oh.
Or an
Doug from the Haunted Winery asked.
Yeah. Well, I'm not asking a question, I'm just mentioning something.
Okay.
Thank you for the entire part about the airplane/missile that went into the Pentagon building.
There was
because
a section of that.
That was in Loose Change.
Yeah.
And I think you guys go painstakingly through what it would take to not leave any debris whatsoever. For an actual like 747 or huge jet airplane to hit the Pentagon and just make a little teeny, you know, little puncture hole and a big fire, you know, and it's true. I mean, I couldn't reconcile that when I saw it on TV that day.
Well, just wing debris alone, you think there'd be stuff laying all over the place,
right? There should be, I think, but for some reason, there wasn't.
Not only should there be stuff all over the place, there should be a plane there. I mean, come on, you got downtown Manhattan. Two buildings were hit by two planes. There's like 100 videos of it. You can check it anywhere. You can see it. But then you got the Pentagon, which is the most secure building in, I believe, the world. They have SAM sites on the roof that will shoot down any aircraft that deviates from its path more than a mile. I mean, that's an automatic thing. You have to shut these things off. This is the most secure building. This is our military's head honcho house. I mean, this is where everybody goes. And you're going to tell me that you can fly a 757 in the front door?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's...
After other planes have been hijacked, yeah. And it's an hour later.
And then, on top of that, fly it into the building and leave a 16-foot hole.
Touching the lawn.
Without touching the lawn, without leaving any wreckage on the lawn.
And knocking down five light poles on the way.
And then not leaving any evidence of where the plane, the wings, or the engines, or the vertical stabilizers would have been. I mean, we're talking about a 12-ton engine here that's going 525 miles an hour made of titanium, smashing into a building, and then, oh my God, it's gone.
Which is,
I'm not, and
the day that it was happening, I thought that was bizarre.
Not only that, but the guy who supposedly was the pilot of the flight that flew the plane that crashed into the Pentagon was in an operation a year earlier called Operation Mascow, which simulated a Boeing 757 crashing into the building.
Okay.
Oh, that's coincidental.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely coincidence. Yeah.
Wow. What about?
Well, go ahead, Doug.
The there's the in the recent trial. The only person who has been on trial and convicted of, you know, 9/11. He like stood up in court one day and decided to confess everything and say, "Oh, guess what? Yeah, I did all this stuff. And by the way, I was supposed to hijack and fly a plane into the White House." What do you think about this sudden courtroom confession thing
all right.
that just happened?
I'd like
last
to say
week?
This. First of all, this isn't the first Massawi trial. Several have been thrown out. It's been reported by CNN that he had nothing to do with 9/11. It came out in that court trial.
Mm-hmm.
This court trial, he has a stun belt on, according to MSNBC. He's wearing a stun belt, and he can only say so much. He's openly talked about how he'll say anything to have better prison conditions. They've actually named a different guy as the 20th hijacker a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, how can I take anything in this trial seriously? There's not even a camera in there. I mean, I get to see the transcripts. That's great.
Well, yeah, it don't take a political scientist to figure that out. We're only getting transcripts from that. I mean, how much weight is that really going to hold for the American public? I mean, we have no idea what was said in there. We have no idea.
Exactly. I mean, they openly are censoring the press and openly lying to the public. So what's to say anything I'm hearing about that trial is real right now?
Well, here's the thing I wanted to throw out. We're kind of into this, in the meat of this, unless Doug has another question from the chat room. Is there anything going on in there?
Oh, there's tons, yeah. But
well, here's an idea I heard, guys, and I mean, I don't know if we're going to concur with this or not. We mentioned, this is the reason I asked this so specifically earlier. We're talking about metal goes molten at about 3,000 degrees. Security grade, you know, the better, heavier grade steel will melt at around 3,500 degrees. I actually heard a theory a while back that in order to make those girders melt as quick as they did, they would have had to use not, you know, like a plane itself. And well, they said jet fuel is what ignited everything and made, from what I understand, made these girders melt. But there's no way. From what I understand, jet fuel only burns at about 2,000-something degrees or something like that.
Yeah,
so.
At its peak, when it's in a
full oxygen environment, and that is only when the fuel is maintained. That is absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not even that's pretty much saying that if you have a gas stove and you turn on your gas stove, it's going to melt your stove.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Now, what I've heard, one of the ideas I heard, which I thought was pretty interesting, is that the only thing that could burn that hot to melt steel that quick would be a nuclear type weapon they use. And I know this sounds insane. I know it sounds pretty out there too. Maybe even to these gentlemen too. But a nuclear type weapon that may have been in the plane to ignite something that hot to melt the steel that quick. I mean, have you guys heard any?
I would think that's totally not possible.
Okay,
however,
all right.
However, I will say this: the demolition charges that they used may have been mini nukes. I mean, there's some evidence that possibly at the lower levels of the basement where they actually did make everything molten after it had gone down. I mean, the air there, I mean, it's such high grade. Some people are talking about radiation poisoning. Now, actually, if you Google it, there were some recent articles about how some of the survivors are really sick right now, and especially some of the rescue workers, because there was some kind of chemical in the air.
Well, that's, yeah, and you mentioned that earlier, too, which I thought was interesting. There was you said there, a month later?
Yeah, a month later, it was still smoldering molten steel at the base World Trade Center complex. In fact, I believe the Scholars for 9/11 Truth put together a great 45-minute movie that I think you can find on Google as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically just all the demolition stuff. And one of the great clips that we didn't get in our movie, and I'm kind of disappointed because I never saw it,
mm-hmm.
Was George Pataki down there, I think, a week later after the World Trade Center disaster, maybe even 2 weeks later, and the smoke was still billowing up. And he's just talking to the reporter, you know, nonchalantly how, you know, there's still molten steel down there.
I wouldn't. That does not sound like anything you could speak about nonchalantly, even 2 weeks later.
Yeah. Oh, it was no big deal.
I mean, we even have Kevin Ryan. Kevin Ryan worked at NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And he was the man who certified the steel that was used in the World Trade Center, and he wrote a letter from his position stating how it was absolutely impossible that the fires in those towers caused that fireproof steel to weaken. He said it was absolutely preposterous. The entire letter is cited in our movie. I mean, this is the guy who certified the steel for the building, and you're going to go ahead and tell me that he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Actually, a
little afterthought on that was when he wrote that letter, he got fired.
Oh, ironic, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that guy has some bit of authority if he was given that task to do that monumental job to build those huge buildings. You'd think he might pull a little bit of weight in this. So yeah. I agree.
Crow in the chat room is talking about the human thing related human aspect of 9/11 that I just want to share real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that made me burst into tears, mm-hmm. and I did. Mm-hmm. I absolutely sat down there in front of everybody, mm-hmm. right? And I burst into tears, mm-hmm. right? Was when I saw the people. I think it was the next day, or maybe it was later in the day, much later in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But there were people walking around with their signs. And on the signs were a picture of their loved one who worked in the World Trade Center.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, have you seen my father, brother, aunt, uncle?
Mm-hmm. I remember those too. Yeah.
Mom, dad, and they had a picture, and they had all, you know, and they're just wandering around completely confused.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's telling them anything. They have no clue what's going on, mm-hmm. and they are personally affected by it. I burst into tears when I saw the people with the signs.
I couldn't blame you.
But what seems to affect a lot of other people is the video, because they showed it on TV,
mm-hmm.
of people jumping out of the windows.
Yeah.
What about the human aspect of it, you guys? How did it affect you? What was?
I mean, I want the truth for everybody. I mean, obviously, I want the victims' family members, the firefighters that survived, the friends of the firefighters, the policemen, everybody to come together and say, hey, I want answers to this. The real people haven't paid. That's what I want. I mean, how else are we going to do justice to all these people that were murdered in broad daylight in our own country, unfortunately, by elements within our own country?
Yeah, I mean, it seems the longer we go with this, the more I am, I can't say I'm 100% convinced, because I'm never 100% convinced of anything. But the longer we go, though, it seems that we'll see something else, or, you know, like a video of yours will come out or something like that, and there'll be more facts that are put out there going, look, man, this is right here in front of your face. You know, you might want to look at this for a second and see what our point is about this. It seems as if the more we go, though, the more it just more evidence comes out that, look, something happened that was not out of our control. Well, how would you say? It was not something that was beyond our control. It may have been the members of our government that had a part in this, unfortunately.
Just recently, they just released the tapes of the people that called the 911 operators from inside the tower.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, oh, we're going to release it, and we're going to, I mean, after years and years of fighting with tooth and nail for the government to release tapes of people who, family members that died in the World Trade Center. They took years to release these tapes, and when they released them, the only thing that they left in it, they censored everything from the people who called. The only thing you could hear is from the operator, and they said that was for the family members. However, they did leave one out, and it's a Jason, jump in right here.
Yeah, actually, one of the ones that they did leave one of the callers in earlier, I talked about that demo charge going off about 20 floors above the first impact,
mm-hmm.
and ironically, this guy calls two minutes after the impact, and he says there's a huge explosion on the 105th floor right around where you see the demo charge. So, I mean, you know, that's just another piece of evidence that slipped out. It looks like, you know, there was a bomb up there. I mean, we have the reports. I mean, again, the evidence of the eyewitnesses saying there was bombs going off in the subway, the elevators, the 8th floor, the 25th floor. I mean, they're all over the place.
What chemical would have been in the air? They're not talking about. Yeah, they're not asking a question about it, but what could be an accelerant like that?
I mean, like, for instance, in Iraq, they use depleted uranium all over the place, and our soldiers are breathing that in, and it's not good for them. I mean, depleted uranium.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry about that. We got a call on the other line. We're just.
Oh.
Yeah.
We thought we lost you.
I'm like, oh, as soon as the uranium comes out.
Yeah, the whole thing goes down.
Wow.
You guys still there?
Yeah, we're definitely clear. Yeah, I mean, again, I encourage people. I mean, we're not the only information out there. We're lucky enough to have the best product of 9/11, the most consumable movie that anybody can sit down, watch it, and say, wow, at least one of those points makes a lot of sense, and I don't like it. I mean, there are movies, I mean, Beyond Treason goes into how our government's tested chemicals and bioweapons on soldiers throughout history. I mean, this ain't new.
No,
I mean,
it isn't.
It's not new.
This isn't the beginning of false flag terrorism. I mean, this if anybody's seen, just to reference a movie that people might have seen is V for Vendetta, where they reference November the 5th, and that's about 400 years ago, where they staged the bombing of their own building, and I believe that was at the creation of France.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, yeah, and there has been things like that going on. Yeah. Well, Doug, you got another question?
Yeah.
These poor guys, we're grilling them.
Well, I don't remember who asked it, though. Can we... I'll tell you what, you guys go ahead and discuss while I scroll up.
Well, you know what? I have a big question for these guys, and I don't really want... I'd rather you ask what you want to ask first.
Okay. Did you see the movie that just came out about the Pennsylvania plane crash?
Flight 93, no, we haven't. The Tribeca screening premiere is on the 25th.
Unless you're talking about the one that was on A&E, and I saw bits and pieces of that.
It's probably the one that was on, because they're... I mean, they made it
sound
like...
Are they wearing red bandanas around their head, the terrorists? Is that the one where they're dressed up like terrorists?
Hopefully.
And they snuck... Not only did, in that movie, did they sneak on six blocks of C4, but they also a circuit board and all the materials to make a supposed bomb. I mean,
I'm glad I didn't see this movie.
I don't think back.
I mean, it's so bad. The people are sitting in the seats and they're talking on their cellular phones. I don't care anybody who's flying on a plane. I'm going to be on one tomorrow, and I've tested it 1,000 times. Every time I go on a plane, I go to 32,000 feet. I turn my phone on. Oh, guess what? There's no service up here. That's not the way they're designed. I mean, the towers of a cellular projects the signal down. There's a less than a 1 in 100th chance that you're going to receive a signal at 32,000 feet, or even drop down to 16,000 feet. You're still not going to get anything.
Yeah, and I mean, some planes have addressed that issue since 2004, but it costs thousands of dollars to get the equipment. They put like a little system up there.
Right. Yeah, they're talking now about allowing like one of the big carriers to, you know, have a tower,
a portable tower up there.
Yeah. So, but that's obviously specialized equipment then.
Well, here's the thing. You know, we've talked about a lot of the mechanics of what may have happened. A lot of factual things that are out there for people to see. And the thing that makes I can't even say it by any other. Just one word. Why? Why would something like this? And I don't even know if any of us have this answer. But why would we be put in a situation like this? Why would our government do this to us? If let's say tomorrow
right.
comes out, why? Why?
I'll tell you why. I mean, it's very simple.
Jason, please bring in the right shag building.
I'll bring it all in. Don't worry, Corey. let's go throughout history. Nero, ruler of Rome, had everything he wanted, but he wanted to persecute the Christians. How did he do it? He burned the cities and blamed them. And then he had literally the people throwing them to the lions. More recent example, our president, William McKinley, before he was president, he headed up a naval ship that they bombed. It was called the Maine. And this was basically a pretext so we could take over the left hemisphere of our country, basically what Spain had owned.
Mm-hmm.
Let's fast forward some more years. Hitler, already in power with the Nazis, they'd actually been voted into parliament, and that wasn't enough. What they do is they burn their own government building, the Reichstag, they blame it on the communists, they pass Fatherland Security, and it mirrors us so much. It's unbelievable. They take over two sovereign nations, I believe Poland and Austria, and they continue just to try to dominate the world, all while, you know, enslaving a certain sect of people, and, you know, it's world domination, man. I mean, right now, look at us. We've been able to go in and take over Afghanistan and Iraq. We've built a huge oil pipeline in Afghanistan, and we have the oil to pump it out of both Afghanistan and Iraq. Where are the military bases that we're building? They're along that pipeline. The Project for a New American Century, we're talking about people named Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, Donald Rumsfeld, Dan Quayle, Scooter Libby, William Kristol, the list goes on. And these guys were openly talking about how they needed a Pearl Harbor-like terrorist event so that they could go into Eurasia and take it over for its resources. And then they talked about basically just reforming the whole planet around that. And, I mean, what other nations are they talking about invading? Syria, Iran. I mean, Iran is really getting hyped up, even though we've had two false wars already.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it goes on. I mean, right now, dissenters have little to no power because the mainstream media is basically ignoring us for the most part. And the Patriot Act has been passed, where Section 802 clearly states that if you go out and say some of this stuff, they can arrest you. I mean, they can literally, within the Patriot Act, come into your home, take some of your stuff, leave, never tell you, and tell you not to talk about it if they want.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen I've seen this paperwork firsthand.
And right, you didn't sign it.
A smile on their face.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that Scott did not sign.
When I bought,
I'm not buying the place.
Well, I was lucky that I was in like that little quandary of how it was passed, but it wasn't passed. It means they were so excited to get this thing out that they just needed to get it out as soon as possible.
They made forms before it actually.
Yeah. And that's what I went through with this. They're like, I went through this thing. And they read the form to me, and I said, okay, wait. So if I breathe on a terrorist, a supposed terrorist, basically that gives you guys all the right to come in my house and do whatever you got to do. That's what I'm getting from this piece of paper you guys are telling me. Well, yeah. I go, okay, now let me ask you something. I'm holding a check here for a very large amount of money. Let's just say that. I'm holding a big check here that I want to purchase this home with. You mean to tell me that I'm just asking you, if I don't sign this thing, is this going to stop the sale of the house? They're like, well, in this state of where we're at with this particular, this move, this, what do you call it, this bill or whatever you want to call it, you do not have to sign this, unfortunately. This is something that you can still buy your house if you do not sign this. I don't think that's the case nowadays, guys. I think now you wouldn't be able to buy your home now if you didn't sign this particular form. Luckily, where I was at, from what I understand now, I kind of stood up and said, no, I'm not going to sign this form, man. You guys don't have the right to do this.
I bet Alex Jones won't sign it.
Yeah, check this out. This is a law that was passed yesterday in New York State.
Okay.
If you buy cold medicine in New York State now, I'm talking about Advil, Tylenol, regular, any type of over-the-counter thing, it is flagged now, and you have to swipe your ID, and your information is entered into a database if you buy any cold medicine over-the-counter. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a 60-year-old woman and you go into Rite Aid.
She was 50.
Yeah, she was, and she goes in to buy, a box of Advil. They take her ID and they enter information into a database and just collect it because the meth makers are buying their Advil from Rite Aid. I mean, come on.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't believe it either.
Were you guys affected by the multi-state, multi-day blackout?
No, I was. I was at work when that happened. Yeah.
Well, we were affected by it here. Do you think it was a tree in Cleveland that fell out of power?
I think that, they really haven't exposed to what that is. I really hope it wasn't some kind of black op. I really hope it was some kind of a mistake, to be honest.
There's so many instances in the past already in L.A. I mean, and who was it? I mean, people were caught shutting off power grid.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that whole scandal out in California where the rolling blackouts were totally fake to, maximize profits. I mean, these guys will rape us again and again and again, and then smile while they're doing it, and then afterwards not do anything about it, and we let it happen.
I mean, look at oil prices. Look at the pump. Go to the pump and look at how much you're paying for gas. And ask yourself why.
Yeah, we have more oil now than ever before at our disposal. We took over the second largest oil reserve in the world, people. Wake up.
There was a hurricane.
Yeah.
Okay.
yeah. And they actually had to admit that they were price gouging there. I mean, they got caught again, and nothing was done. I mean, it's unreal.
The CEOs had to go in and talk in front of Congress, and they were not under oath. And
it wasn't even entered into the record.
Yeah, it wasn't even entered in the record. It was ridiculous.
We have less than a minute.
Oh, man.
How about one final thing from the chat room?
I'm angry again, damn it.
I know, I'm all worked up.
These shows, I really am interested in talking about these things, but I always walk away so angry, guys, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way.
Well, if we only have a minute, I'm going to say this.
All right.
If you're angry, come down to Ground Zero this year, September 11th. Be there before the memorial. We are going to make our presence known. We're going to make history. If enough people are really upset and really angry, it's one day. It's Monday, September 11th, 2006.
Let's go and do it. Let's demand answers.
It's the fifth anniversary. If we don't get something done before this presidency is out, we may never get something done. And believe me, if we don't get something done, we are going to have worse terror attacks here than you can even imagine.
Do you think we're still in trouble?
Do you think there's
absolutely
going to be
look at the incrementalism, guys. I mean, I wish I had more time to go into it, but the 93 World Trade Center bombing, look into it. It was an inside job. The 95 Oklahoma City bombing, look at it. It was an inside job. More people were lost in that than anything before. It took a little bit longer to carry out the World Trade Center attack, but even more people were killed there. It's only going to get larger.
I'm angry again.
Well, get down to Ground Zero. I'm urging people. You don't even have to be angry. We're not there to be angry. We're there to spread the information to the family members, to the police, to the people that care, so we can get out in front of the White House lawn and say no.
This is going to be a big year, too, because this is going to be the fifth anniversary.
This is it. This is the year.
I'll tell you what, we have to close the show because we have to make way for Full Moon Radio. But can you guys hang on the line for just a minute?
Yeah, hang on the line for one second. Hang on the line, please.
Don't forget, you guys, loosechange911.com.
Pick it up. Pick it up, or you can view it for free.
Or go to video.google.com.
Yeah, you can view it for free.
And if you do get a video, copy it. Make 100 copies. Make 1,000,000 copies. Give them out. It's that we encourage people to pirate this movie.
Yes,
do
please pirate this movie.
Please copy it. Wow. Don't sell it. Just give it away.
Yeah, just give it away. Exactly. You know, and that's the same thing we do on this show right here. We tell people to do the same exact thing.
Yep.
Pirate the heck out of it, copy it.
Yeah, if you think any of this information was worthwhile, you want to chop out this past hour or the entire show or whatever. And
take it out there.
To people.
Exactly.
Because we're published under the open content license. You guys, we have to make
our
Full Moon Radio.
Yeah, we got it, unfortunately. God. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Thanks again. Thank you.
Hang on the line, you guys.
Hey, thanks everybody for listening, and thanks for having us on,
guys. Get out there and spread the truth. Find out about it.
Definitely. Hang on the line, guys.
I'd like to thank deceased EVP, Chloroform and the Girl, Chris Williams, all the folks
Wilkins.
I wrote Wilkins. I read Williams. Okay. Chris Wilkins. I'd like to thank all those folks for making the musical portion of the show possible.
We need to thank King Folly from the Deceased for coming on and talking about some of the stuff that's happened to him in the past. We need to thank Brian from Ghost Hunters. Brian from Taps. Great guy. Thanks again for coming on the show, man. You're absolute ball.
And then, of course, Corey and Jason of Loose Change 911. And thank you all the listeners for listening. You guys, we have to make way for Full Moon Radio coming up next on Pioneer and Omnisound Radio 1.
All right, we're out of here. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doc.
I'm Will.
See you guys later.
I need to go someplace where a man can think. I need to go someplace where a man can think.